The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6, we continue our preaching in the series of the Kingdom of God. This morning, we're going to begin a new section in chapter number 6. Thus far, in chapter 5, Jesus has talked about the citizens of the kingdom and the character of the kingdom, and we closed out speaking of the code of the kingdom. And this morning, we are going to begin with the words of Jesus that relate to the conduct of the kingdom, and that especially that has to do with our spiritual conduct. And so we're going to talk this morning about our spiritual conduct, the conduct of the kingdom citizen, as it relates to giving. Giving. Now, this, dear friend, is usually the greatest challenge unto us as Christians. What we give, how much we give, produces a great challenge to our faith and our conduct. Now, Jesus is going to enlighten us on some things here this morning as we read the first four verses of Matthew chapter number 6 as relates to giving. Now, the whole basis and underlying motif here is Jesus' statement in chapter 5 that except our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, then we'll in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so you must remember that. And it was a very difficult statement for the people of the day, because the most religious people apparently of the day and the most righteous people apparently of the day were these two groups that Jesus mentioned. And so obviously it would put your normal average individual into a position of desperation, because they'll say, those people are much more religious than me and much more righteous than me. Dear friend, that's the exact place that God wants to bring every one of us. Until we reach a point of spiritual desperation and destitution, we will never, ever turn to God for help. And no man ever has gotten saved on his own. The only way he gets saved is by God saving him. The problem with the Pharisees and the religious people of the day, same problem that God has to this day, is convincing people that they really are not saved. And the most difficult people you will have that problem with are religious people. Sinners in this world, you don't have any problem. They will admit what they do. They may like what they do and say, I'm going to do it till I die. But you haven't got any problem with them and what they're doing. But a religious person, you will have a problem convincing because of their background and belief system that does not conform to the Bible and what it has to say. And so Jesus now is going to deal with spiritual aspects of our life, and he's going to use these to reveal that the religious people of the day may have been religious, but they didn't do things the way that they should be done. And he's going to deal with it in three common spiritual areas. Number one, he's going to talk about giving. Number two, he's going to talk about prayer. Number three, he's going to talk about fasting. Now, these are usually, especially in Jesus' day, associated with religious activity. Now, I know today we have all kind of charitable organizations, and they do a good work, and I'm not condemning them in the very least. But what I want you to understand is that it was not so in the days of the Lord Jesus. So let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 6. Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms, your giving, before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, this word alms is a word that primarily was used, but not limited to, the giving to the poor. We find in the Bible where there are certain beggars by a road or at the temple who were there begging alms. In Acts chapter 4, we find such a case. And so alms in this day was associated with giving for a purpose, and quite often that purpose was to the poor. And from the context, we find that this giving took place in the streets, and it took place in the synagogue. Now, the problem here that Jesus is addressing in this issue with our conduct when it comes to our activity in giving, dear friend, he begins in dealing with the manner of our giving. It's not only important what you do, but it's also important in how you do it. Amen? And sometimes it's hard to balance those two things. And so Jesus is not condemning here the fact that the Pharisees and the scribes did not give. No, they did give. But he's rather condemning the manner in which they gave. We see two manners in these four verses for giving. First, we see in verse number 2 what I call display giving. And then we see in verses 3 and 4 what I call discreet giving. There were those, and the scribes and Pharisees were of that group, who gave for being seen of people. In other words, they didn't just give because it was their heart's desire to give. Yea, even it may have been their heart's desire to help the poor and to give to the work of the synagogue. But friend, it was the manner in which they chose to give that revealed that they didn't have an outward problem, but they had an inward problem. And what revealed the inner problem was the manner in which they did their giving. It was display giving. And he mentions three ways that they did it. Number one, he said they sounded a trumpet before they did it. They made a racket, if you will, amen, before giving. To be seen of people that were around them. In other words, to make sure that somebody took notice that they were a giving. And that was the manner in which they would give. They weren't looking toward heaven to see what God thought and what his opinion was, but they were looking unto those around them to make sure that everybody recognized that I, as a right religious person, I am doing what I ought to do. I am giving. I'm giving to the poor and giving to the synagogue. Now, that's what they should have been doing, amen. But they were doing it simply that others might see them. And so Jesus makes it very plain that our giving should be, the word used there is the word secret. Now, that doesn't mean that you go in a secret place to do your giving, behind a voting booth curtain or someplace like that, but it means that you just can't simply keep that a personal and a private thing, and you do it in such a way that whenever you give, it does not bring glory to you. Amen. Now, we find that's a problem in the churches today. I can tell you from 29 years of experience of being in a church that when you get somebody in a church who in Sunday school and at other times is constantly talking about what they give to the church, you are soon going to have a problem on your hand with that person. Now, I'm speaking from experience in there, and what I've come to find out, listen, I'm talking about folks that gave good amounts of money, large amounts of money, and dear friend, they deserve praise of that, but friend, not praise from men. They get their praise from God. That's where it's supposed to come from. That's what he said. But whenever people give in such a way that they focus upon that and remind people of that, then dear friend, that person has an internal problem that is displayed in the manner in which they have given. I won't tell you what Jesus said here, that our giving should be discreet between us and God for the purpose of bringing glory to him as a result of the gift and not bringing glory unto ourselves. Now, you know well as I do, in this society in which we live today, money is a powerful influence, isn't it? Well, don't you think that it also was in the days of Christ? I want to tell you how strict the Pharisees were in giving. They literally would not take care of their mom and daddy, and Jesus condemned them for this. They would give so much of what they had to what we would call the Lord's work, which would be the synagogue in their day, that they would not even have enough support their mom and daddy. Jesus said, that's wrong. Because, you see, the reason that they did it was in order that they might be seen of men. In other words, if we passed a plate around here, the religious Pharisee would be one who would not give in dollar bills that would be quiet, but he would give in silver dollars or the new Indian dollars we got and hold them high and drop them into the plate in order that they might ring out. See, there's a manner for giving. A manner for giving. Number one, the Bible says to bring your gift. You look at gifts in the Old Testament with reference to sacrifices and offerings. It was always to bring that gift. When you look at the practice of tithes in Malachi 3, the Lord said unto the people of Israel, bring ye all the tithes. Amen. Money is not something that is going out and collected for the church. Money is not something that is going out and earned for the church. That's why I don't believe in bake sales. I don't believe in begging for money for the ministry. For a simple reason is that when lost people see it in this world, they say, well, poor old God, he's gone broke, and so his people have become paupers and having to beg for money for God. That's the last thing, friend, that God wants to see us doing. You'll go down to shopping centers on weekends, you'll find people selling cakes, fudge, candy, peanut brittle, and all for their church. Friend, I want to tell you something. That is not biblical, and it's an absolute contradiction to what's saying right here, and it's an absolute wrong manner in which for somebody to give. People should not have to give under pressure. People should not have to give some type of specific method. They should give discreetly in order to maintain a proper relationship with their God, that He would receive the praise. Now, here's the proper way to do something. The biblical way to do something. And that's more important than proper. Amen? You see, this is the way that it operates. The people of God give to the church. In their day, it was the synagogue. And the needs of the poor, the needs of those who had need, were met through the church, the synagogue. We find that through the New Testament, especially in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. The book of Philippians, it is talked about. Why? Because, you see, if we got somebody in the church who happened to be wealthy, as far as I know, none of us in that category, but suppose we did have somebody, and there was a need in the church, and that individual gave a good, large sum of money to that specific interest or person in order to meet a need. The gift was good, and the person that needed it was, yes, indeed, in need. But because he did that, he was recognized, and it was spoken about what a good deed that was. Now, that all sounds good, and it is good, and the man did a good thing. However, now the focal point of his gift has become himself and not God. You see, the manner of the giving was wrong. The proper way to do that is to present a gift through the church. Then when the church administers that gift, then God gets the praise and not any individual. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's exactly what Jesus is teaching here in this manner or right way of giving anything. That's why we don't pass a plate. Many people have said, look, Murph, you'd get more money if you passed a plate around. I know, because many people would be embarrassed for a plate to go by and them not put something in it. And so what would they do? Amen. They would put something in with the wrong attitude, amen, behind it. Isn't that right? When really the people of God are support the work of God and not visitors or our outside people, amen. And so as the Bible says, we bring our offerings and our gifts unto the Lord and we place them in the basket, amen. We don't hold it up and we don't flaunt it for the world, and what you give is between you and God, amen. But there's a right way to give it, amen, and that's discreetly. It ain't my business what you give. It's not your business what I give. Because the moment you go to discriminating between amounts of gifts, you go to dividing people, don't you? Exactly. That's why you don't do that. That's why God set it up the way that He did, amen. In order that the manner of giving might not create within us a self-pride and adoration because other people would look at us and say, boy, ain't they something? Amen. Amen. Somebody gave a gift to this church and said, I don't want nobody to know about it. I don't want nobody to know about it. So, you know, I couldn't tell nobody because they did the right thing the right way. Amen. I personally sent them a thank you card on behalf of the church. I took care of it. But see, what I'm saying is there's a right way to do something. Amen. If somebody presents a big gift, and boy, we'll be glad to have it. We're going to need a roof soon. We got a lot of things that need to be done. But, dear friend, if they do it for the sake of getting favoritism of the church or special recognition, all you've done is, number one, taken the glory away from God, and you've divided the church into classes just like the church at Corinth did that we've been studying on Sunday evenings. Amen? So there's a right manner to give in. Jesus said this crowd here, because they had an internal heart problem, were given in order that they might receive recognition and be boasted about and boasted in. You know what Jesus said? They have their reward. And so he's not only talking about the manner of giving, friend, he's talking about the motive of giving. Now, there are two reasons we give. Number one, there's a helping reason. Number two, there's a heavenly reason. Huh? When you give to this church, it involves both of those things. See, everybody out here in this world thinks you come and give money to the church. Well, you're giving your money to the preacher. Amen? Now, I've known churches like that before. Well, me and Ann, we knew a preacher that preached down at church. He used to come visit us down the road from us years ago, and he would come down and visit us sometime on Sunday afternoon. And every dime went in that church, 80% of it went to that preacher, which left 20% for the light bill. And we're in a real big church. For the light bill and for all the other things that were necessary for the church, which what, of course, did was leave them in the red. And so they had to have cake sales and spaghetti suppers and all that just to meet the bills of the church. And so community said, well, God went broke down there at that church. Amen. Not good. Wrong way of giving. Amen. There is a motive behind it. Number one, a helping reason. Who are we helping? Well, right off the bat, I can say that we support 10 missionaries who could not be up on the field if there weren't enough churches concerned about lost folks and about their ministry to support them every month with a gift, that they can go out there and they can preach the gospel and do what God has called them to do. Now, you know what that is? That is a helping reason. As it was in the days of Christ, there were many beggars in that day, many poor. And as people would walk along, they would give them a little something if they had it. And it was a helping reason to give. The Pharisees did that, but they always sounded a trumpet to make sure that somebody noticed that they were giving. One day Jesus was sitting in the temple and a little woman came in there and she put in two mites. Nobody saw her but Jesus. Jesus said, I want to tell you something. This woman gives more than anybody. Well, she gave all that she had, number one. Number two, she wasn't concerned about everybody seeing what was going on. And that could have been part of the humility of gift. We wonder what she would have done. She'd have had a whole sack full of them. Amen. Nevertheless, Jesus understood that. There is a motive behind why we give. It's a motive of concern and a motive of helping somebody out. Amen. And that should have always been not only the spirit of the church, but the spirit of all Christians. In the book of Acts chapter 20, Paul was leaving the church of Ephesus on his journey, and he knew he would never see these people again. They wrapped their arms around him and hugged him and wept upon him. I want you to listen to what he said unto them. In verse number 35 of Acts chapter 20, listen to what he said. I have showed you all things. These are his departing words. How that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. One motive for giving is to be a blessing. Now, I want to tell you the concept of the church today is the exact opposite. I'm talking about churches as a whole. People want to find a church to attend, not that they might find a place to contribute to through their labor, through their love, and through their gifts. But they want to find a church that can do something for them, that can give them something. And what did Paul remind these people of? He said, I want you to work. I want you to do it so that you can support the weak, so that you can support the church, so that you can support those that have need. Why? So that you might Give. Why? Because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, everything that Jesus said in the Beatitudes was the exact opposite. It was contradictory to the common beliefs of the Pharisees and of the people today. You ask people on the street today, is it better for you to give or is it better for you to get? And 99% of them say you got to be able to get. That's what this world is about. It's not about me giving to somebody. It's about me getting. And if I ever get all that I want to get, then I'll give to somebody else. The man in Luke chapter 12 looked out and saw his barns were full. He had so much. He said, I'm going to tear them down. I'll build some bigger ones. You didn't hear him say, well, now since these things are full, I'm going to take some of it and give it away to the poor. Because I just got so much. Didn't do it, did he? Why? He didn't have any concept of giving, of blessedness. All he was focusing upon was getting. A person with an attitude like that, whenever God places them in a church, if they don't get what they want out of it, they'll be gone. Everybody else will be damned. Now that's the bottom line, isn't it? Amen. The Bible teaches that if I am concerned about the needs of my brother, then dear friend, I forget about my needs. I'll be concerned about theirs. But when I begin to focus on my needs and what I want, then dear friend, whenever that gets a position where I think that it ain't doing what I want to get to suit me, then I'll walk out on those that I should have been a blessing to. That's where we are today. Preacher, you give me what I want and I'll come to church with you. Church, you supply what I want and you satisfy me, then I'll be there with you. But you don't hear somebody come in the door and come down here. I've never heard him come down and take my hand. You know, preacher? Not concerned with what goes on in a business meeting. Not concerned with this, that, and other. But I tell you what. I think y'all could use a gift that God's laid on my heart to give you. Okay? That'd be all right? You don't see that much, do you? Huh? Why? Because people have a wrong motive for their giving. You know what a tremendous a basis for a lot of giving in America is today? Tax write-offs. Amen. It's exactly what it is. Because you can take it off on your taxes. Dear friend, we ought to have attitude and give for a helping reason. But then there's a heavenly reason. Now, I want to tell you how God will test your faith more than any other way. And you will find this is a biblical principle. He will test your faith by your giving. What is giving? David made it plain in the Psalms, Psalm 100, where God said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. What was God saying? Look, I want to tell you, God does not need my money. Do you think that if I don't give an offering to this church, that it's going to weaken God, that it's going to defeat God in any way? If that's true, then he ain't much of a God, is he? No, it is not. Might hurt me, but it ain't going to hurt God, is it? So, what's the bottom line of giving? Does God need the money? Well, no. Giving, dear friend, is the first and foremost manifestation of your faith and your trust in God. That's why in the Old Testament, God said, you give to me first. The tithe. That's what he said. Why didn't God say, now, I'm going to bless you. You make the truck note, the house note, and this note, and that note, and everything else. And if you got this much left, let me have this and that. No, he didn't do that. He said, why did God say, give me first what you ought to give? Was it because God's selfish? No, dear friend. Giving is an act of faith and trusting God. Just as he said here, that he who sees your giving in secret will do what? Reward thee openly. So what does this motive hinge upon? Whether or not you believe what Jesus said and what God said all through the Old Testament, that if you give as I have told you to give, that I will bless you and I will reward you. Now, if you don't believe that, then whenever money gets tight, you're going to say, well, I can't afford to give. Boy, how many times have I heard this? I can't afford to give. When the reality is, friend, we cannot afford not to give to God. Now, that's what God said. If you take that from a man, then you have good reason to doubt. From God, you have no reason to doubt to you. Amen? Amen? I'll give an example of that. Number one was the widow that we just talked about. She gave everything she had. Now, did Jesus run over there and take one of those mites back? Say, here, now wait, you don't need to give everything. Did he do that? He saw it. He was the Lord. Did he go over there and do that? Say, look, you don't need to give everything here. Keep part of it. You're going to need something. Why didn't he do that? He certainly was compassionate. We see that from his life, don't we? Why didn't he do that? The point that he made when he said that she's given more than anybody else because she gave of her want or her lack was saying this, that she has such a trust in God that even if she gives it all, she believes that God will take care of her and reward her openly for her gift. Not like the Pharisees. Jesus said, when they give in the manner in which they give, he said, they have their reward. What did they want? They wanted the recognition of men. You know what Jesus said? You got what you wanted. You got what you wanted. Amen. There's a heavenly reason to give. Why? It is a demonstration of my faith in God and obedience to His Word that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and whenever I give, He'll give back unto me. Amen. There was, in Elijah's day, in 1 Kings 17, Elijah went to the king Ahab and he told him it wasn't going to rain by the space of 3.5 years except by his word. And God said, okay, Elijah, you go over to the brook Cherith and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went over there and God took care of his man and he drank of that brook and the ravens brought him morsels of food to eat daily. Then the brook went dry. Well, two responses. God, you failed me. God, I'm in a mess. God, what's going on? Or just simply wait and trust God to do what He said He's already going to do and taking care of Him. God shows up when the brook goes dry and said, okay, I want you to go over to a little widow's house of Zarephath, and I've commanded her to feed you there. So Elijah, in obedience, goes over there to her house, and he sees her out there, and he says, woman, he said, would you give me a little water to drink? And while you're at it, would you fix me a little cake to eat? She said, well, I'm going to go into my barrel. She said, I've got just a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal that I'm going to make a cake out of, and me and my boy are going to eat it. Then we're going to die. So we see her attitude already is this, what God has forsaken us, and we're going to die. So we're going to eat what little we got left, and we're out of here. We're dead. That's a sorry, pitiful state to find yourself in, ain't it? Elijah said, I tell you what, you go fix me a cake first. Now, she knew he was a prophet, which was viewed as a man of God in the Old Testament. She could have had two responses, one of trust or one of mistrust. And she could have said, look, old man of God, you take care of yourself. I'm going to take care of my boy and myself first. Or she could have believed that he was a man of God, a prophet, and therefore, if she did what he said, that God was going to do something for her. You know what choice she made? She said, I'm going to trust God. And she went and took what little meal she had left and the oil she had left, and she made him a cake and brought it to him, and he ate it. You know what she discovered? Every time she went back to that barrel, there was more meal in it. And that thing never did run empty. Let me tell you why. Because God had found somebody. He already knew it. That's why he commanded Elijah to go there. Somebody that would trust in him. Giving, friend, is a manifestation of our trust and our faith in God Himself. It is one of the primary ones. Because sin, friend, we will say, well, I trust God to the end. I trust God in death. And you say, I'm trusting God that when I die, He's going to carry my immortal soul to heaven, not suffer me to go to hell. But then you come to the same person and say, you know, you ought to give to the work of the Lord. Well, oh, now, wait a minute. That's a whole different story. It's hard. And so, dear friend, that's why Jesus deals with the manner of our giving and the motives behind our giving. It's not only important, dear friend, what we give, but it's important why we give and how we give it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful literally means a hilarious giver. Can't give without just having a laughing fit. It just tickles them so much. Now, is that not only contrary to the people of Jesus' day, but the contrary to the people of our day? Dear friend, I tell you, sometimes you got to wring it out of people, it would appear. Amen. And I don't do that. Honey, if the doors get nailed shut, it'd be because the people of God just were not concerned enough to give to the work of the Lord. Let them be nailed shut, the way I look at it. And we deserve it if we allow that to happen. Amen? Not to more concerned about God's work and the people of God and the house of God than to give enough to keep the thing running. The door ought to close. And there's a lot of churches ought to have the doors nailed shut, and I pastored some of them. Amen. Amen. It matters why you give, as it does in all other aspects of life. In the Old Testament, the method of giving under government was the tithe. There was a tithe for the Lord. The book of Leviticus in the last chapter, that all the tenth of the increase of the land was mine. Then in Numbers chapter 18, there was the tithe of the Levite. Everything that was given unto him to support him, he was to give a tenth of that to the Lord. Then there was a tithe of the land in Deuteronomy 14, where that every third year you gave an extra 10% above your tithe to the Lord and the Levite under the poor. That tithe was God's welfare program to take care of the poor people of the land. That which these alms had taken the place of in Jesus' day. The Old Testament method of giving was the tithe. The method of giving in the New Testament is that of grace. Many people ask me, do you believe in tithing? Yes, I believe in tithing. Should I tithe? Well, now, you're going to have to become convinced of that yourself, because if you don't, you are going to give grudgingly. The New Testament teaches there is a place for giving. It teaches that there is a portion for giving and that there is a point of giving. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse 1, which we'll soon be teaching on Sunday nights. But I want you to listen to what he says. Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia. Even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, which was the Lord's day, let every one of you lay by him in store, listen now, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Number one, we see a place of the gathering of the money. He said, I wrote unto the churches. So where was the place of gathering? The church. Amen. There was a portion of gathering. What? As the Lord hath prospered him. Now, what comes in at that point? Faith. Recognition of what God has done for me and what has given to me will determine what kind of giver I would be. You take somebody that only give a few pences to a church, friend, that person does not recognize and refuses to realize how good God has been to them and is reflected in the way that they give. Amen. He's saying, God hadn't prospered me, so I'm not going to give anything this week. Well, you might ought to reevaluate and re-inventory things. Had a man one time who was a deacon in the Sunday school class. We'd fill out the giving envelope. He'd put that envelope in the offering plate. When it was passed, it'd have his name on it. It'd have $25 written on it, and there wouldn't be a dime in it. You see, that envelope there is what you need to claim your offering on your taxes. And when I approached him about that, which you know I later got voted out, he said, God owes me. Because he had built the church. He was a carpenter. He didn't build it all, but he was a carpenter and he had a lot to do with building the church. As a result of that, his attitude was, God owes me. So I will mark $25 in an envelope, but I ain't putting nothing in it. What's he saying? Well, God hasn't prospered me. I have prospered God. Bad motive, bad method, bad manner. Amen. What's the point of giving? We find it there. For the saints, in verse number 1. Amen. You see, when you come here, you're not giving for the government's sake. You're giving for the saints' sake and for the work of the ministry. That's what you give here for. Amen. Isn't that what it's all about? That is the point of giving. And when we realize that, dear friend, then giving does not become a difficult thing. It doesn't become something that creates, dear friend, a showcase for us, but rather it becomes a point in an act of faith and an act of worship before God. Not only do we see the manner and the method and the motives of giving, but praise God, there's a miracle of giving. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? He said, God who sees in secret. You see, friend, you put money in this little basket, nobody's business, nobody needs to see it. But somebody else's business. Somebody else sees it. Who is it? It's God. We can't hide anything from God, can we? He said, when you give that way, God sees what you give. And then he said, what? He not only recognizes that gift, but he will reward that gift. Huh? Now, isn't it wonderful, even though sometimes we think the contrary, that God observes everything that we do and is aware of all of our situations, and he even beholds what we give. You know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6? He says, give, and it will be given unto you again. Pressed down, shaken together, because they gave a lot of grain. That was a part of their giving. And overflowing. That's the miracle of giving. And here it is simply in English words. You cannot, you will not outgive God. There it is. That's what the Bible teaches. In other words, friend, you give in the right way for the right reason, $20 to God, God's going to give you $20 and above back somewhere down the road. Now, it may not come in the form of a tax refund check or something like that. It might come in another form, maybe a better form. Huh? It may come in return of health or salvation of a soul. But my friend, you won't outgive God, and no man will ever have God indebted unto him. That's the miracle of giving. That you can't do it without God knowing about it. The book of Malachi chapter 3 talks about him having a book of remembrance. Hebrews chapter 6, he says, but God is not unrighteous to forget your ministry and your work to the saints of God. That's what he said. God ain't going to forget it. Boy, I tell you, there may have been times in our life, in my life, when I've given to people that I regret having given unto them. But I want to tell you something. God don't forget it. Because it was given in the right spirit, the right attitude, with the right motive. And what happens after that, friend, I have absolutely no control over. Amen. That should be always our attitude of giving. And so if we give for the purpose of being an influence on the church, in order to control that church because we give a certain amount of money, then, dear friend, I want to tell you something. You're way off base and living in a dangerous zone. Jesus said there's a certain conduct we ought to have whenever we give. And it don't need to involve anybody else, but you need to be made aware of the fact that it does involve you and me. Always remember that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Amen. Now, whether we believe that or not is going to determine a whole lot of things in our life. First of all, it will determine the work of the church. The only reason we can support the missions we support is because people give sufficiently for us to do that. Isn't that right? Amen. People give monetarily, they give physically, they give in labor, all kinds of things in order to keep the work of the Lord going. But we should never do any of those things simply to be patted on the back or to be seen of people. Amen. Why? Because I'd much rather have the praise of the Master than the praise of men. Because, friend, God will not suffer us to be without recompense and without reward. So, if we have the wrong manner and method and motive behind our giving, who are we hurting? We're only hurting ourselves. Amen. Amen. So I say unto you this morning, you give as God prospers you, and that's a fair way to give. Amen. Because if God's given me a good week, it's time for me to give more. And if you've had a rough week and come up short, it's time for you to give less. Amen. And when we all do what God wants us to do, I want to tell you, it'll all balance out in the end. Just like a finely balanced checkbook. Amen. Makes a difference about our giving. Let's stand and pray.